All right, we are going to take up Revelation 22 this morning, and we just want to appreciate the challenges of understanding the words of the Lord this morning, and we want to ask the Lord's blessing once again before we begin. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to begin this whole new year with your word, with faith, with trust in the power and majesty of your word. We pray that you will teach us how to have the highest regard for your word, which are faithful and true. We pray for your blessings as we read Revelation 22 further. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we look at Revelation 22 this morning, and we want to be very greatly challenged by what we read from this particular text. Okay, verse 6 down to verse 9, and this is where we take a look. And he said to me, okay, this is important, where the words, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. Now, this is where, when we look at prophecy, it's always a big challenge. How do we actually understand and appropriate prophecy? And this is vital for us. To me, the words of the Lord are, these words are faithful and true. It's something that you literally have to prove within your heart again and again, that the words that we read are faithful and they are true. Right? So we're going to take a little bit of time to understand this whole idea of affirmation, and this is important for us, because without this affirmation, we just pay lip service to the word of the Lord. I wish we wouldn't do that. But when we take a look at the word of the Lord, and if we can affirm this, then what we read will become very real, very precious, and worth meditating, studying. And this is absolutely important, right? So these words that we're talking about, and this not just confined to chapter 22, it's actually the whole book. And beyond that, something that we go on further. So let's take a look at this idea of the word of God are faithful and true. Okay? Now let's take a look at 2 Peter. This one text that we want to look at very carefully. So we have the testimony of Peter the Apostle in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and we see this very, very, very clearly, and how Peter regards the Lord's word. Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. See, that's what we look for. If the prophecy is for real, then you will see it confirmed. So you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there confirmed. Okay? And that's in verse 19. Which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. This is Luke 1, 78-79, the day spring. Right? So we have a compatibility here, and this is very important. So this is how it works. Bit by bit, it's like a dawning. First darkness at night, the bit of dawning, the light shines very brightly until then. But this is the prophetic word confirmed. Right? So verse 20 and verse 21, a key word, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does it mean? But basically, we are saying that when you look at Scripture, It's first not of private origin. In other words, it's not what you think. It's not what you feel. A lot of people think that this is what it is. Actually, it's not. Right? So prophecy did not come by the will of men. You try, write prophecy and see what's going to happen. You can't. Nobody can. Right? Nobody can predict that Venezuela would be attacked. I mean, look at that. It's such a surprise to us. And then there we go. And the things that we fear has actually come to pass, that this is going to become a global tyrant. Right? If he were younger, you might think this is the Antichrist. But he's old, so unfortunately, this is probably not the Antichrist. But if you want to know what the Antichrist can do and will do, we're seeing it right now. It will be global outreach. It will, the influence, the power will be global. It's not just confined to one area. It's going to be as dangerous as that. And it's what we are looking at. And so we see a word, we always look for the word of confirmation. So when people feel, but I think this way, I think that way, very frankly, most of those opinions are of very little value. Right? The real value of anything, of any word that is there, has got to be such that it is going to come forth, confirm reality, and this is something, it's basically, we call it a fulfillment. If it cannot be fulfilled, it's not prophetic. Right? So when the prophets wrote that Bethlehem will be the birthplace of the Messiah, guess what? It will be. That's what we are looking at. Right? So when we talk about how he will come from Nazareth, it will be. And it is thus. Right? That he will be born from a virgin, it will be. And every single aspect is a prophecy confirmed, fulfilled. That is the power of the word. These words are faithful and they are true. Right? So never came, but the holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between a feeling of inspiration and a prophecy. They are greats, as it were. Some people are inspired to do one thing, inspired to do another thing. All right? So there is a brilliance there, there is a strength there, there is a ministry there that is special. But they cannot be equated with the scriptures. The writing of the scriptures is a different thing entirely. I have written on just about every single book, in the New Testament, all completed. The Old Testament, the larger part of it, completed. So I have written, out of the 66 books, I've probably done, well, I don't want to write Leviticus because nobody's going to read. This is why I don't bother writing about it, because who's going to read Leviticus? Because it's also not very applicable. So I basically avoid these things. But most of the other books I have written on. But you see, writing on it is to sharing the knowledge from it. But it's not the same level as prophecy. Right? Prophecy is a direct word from God himself. The prophet may not even understand the significance of what he's saying, because he cannot conceive these things in his mind. How does it work out? The answer is, you can't figure it out. Well, that's what we are looking at. Right? But they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is where we talk about the power of the Spirit of God involved. So if you have a particular ability to write in a certain way, that's yours. And there are different ways in which you can write. I mean, let's take poetry, for example. My poetry is actually very simple. There are three people who write poetry here, quite different. Dr. Kok Yang, he does it with nature and things like that. I don't know how to do that. I salute him. I cannot do it. Dr. Li Hua is very different. Hers is very refreshing, and it was always a joy to read. Mine, I don't even dare to put myself in the same category. Mine is just, an understanding of the text, and that's kind of, right? So there we go. And Jesse's approach is very forthright, and you know, very. I mean, it just comes forthright. I mean, you. It's a very broad faith. Boom, hits you, and you know, all of us different. Mine is just simply trying to render it with some insights here and there. And so mine is out of the four. Mine is the simplest. So I don't take any. But when we talk about moved by the Spirit of God, that's one level. But when you talk about a prophetic spirit being given, it's an entirely different thing. Right, mine is a commentary, mine is an explanation, mine is an understanding of things, that's it. It comes from more from a theological understanding and training that helps me to hone things very clearly. That's where I am. But I am not able to come up with a prophetic view of things. I cannot tell you what is going to happen over the next few years. This is something that's very real. So that's one part of it. So we have a confirming word. That's what it is, right? So now we turn to another person who writes about a similar thing. And this is from the Apostle Paul. And they turn to 2 Timothy 3. And we see what Paul says to Timothy, right? Now, this is the same text that I have. Different people from India, from Myanmar, responding. And one person just wrote to say that he was very, very moved by the whole Christmas service over at Shangri-La. And, you know, it's just good to see how the people are delighted. And there is no envy that one of them gets chosen to be senior pastors and his contemporaries are not. They don't see him with envy. They respect him, and they know that it's true that he has very carefully followed what has been taught, 2 Timothy 3:10. But let's look at the contents of what has been taught concerning doctrine. Verse 16, all scripture, and this is true, all scripture, every part of it is given by inspiration of God, what we call moved by the Spirit. Right? It 2 Peter 1. And so we read, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. The idea, the complete, literally means fully matured, right? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is the place of the Lord's word. And that's going to be important. So as we look at all of these things which are there, we begin to realize the significance of Scripture. So these words are faithful and true for the confirmation from an angel of the Lord, right? So now we look at Psalm 19. And as we look at Psalm 19, we see something very important for us to realize what these words are, right? So Psalm 19, we talk about in verse 7 to 11, right? So we take a look at these words and we see how the law of the Lord is perfect, right? The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Right? The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Right? All of these things describe the Word of God. Now, the power and effect of the Word of God is really significant. First, it can convert a person. That's what we see when we look at the young people. Why do we come for a youth camp? And our youth conferences are not made up of going out to go in canoe, going out, adventure park somewhere, climb some rock, and then hopefully nobody gets. See, those are the things schools do. We don't. What do we do? That is different. We give them the Word of God, believing that this is going to make a difference. It will convert people. right? And this is important. So suddenly yesterday, the youth worship people, the whole hall is full of young people. I mean, as in everyone is just about, everyone that's there is just there. I mean, we are looking at a lot of people. And this is what it converts, okay? These are young people. They're not very wise, but the word of the Lord will make them wise. The simple ones will become wise along the way. The statutes of the Lord are right. The heart is happy. It makes the heart rejoice. See, this is the power and effect of the Word of God. Right? It is pure. We look at it and you cannot believe how pure it is. There is nothing added. It's just very, very, very straightforward. See, there is a forthrightness about things which is about the Word of God, and it hits you in the face. So it's not going to say nice things to you, just in order to be nice. It will tell you what it is, and that's how it works. And I think that's really something to think about very, very much. And then we look at how they are the judgments of the Lord, they are true, and they are righteous all together. Right? So all of these things are a testimony to the significance of the Word of God. These words are faithful and true. So when we look at all of these things, the fall of Babylon in chapter 18, Babylon is fallen. So the angel of the Lord cries out. And that is important. That is important for us to understand. So the Lord, God of the holy prophets, sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. So what we are looking at, so we are looking at a world in turmoil. We're looking at people usurping powers. We're looking at how people are engorging themselves with all kinds of things. And we ask ourselves, when is judgment going to come? Well, the Lord's judgment will come. True and righteous it will be, no matter how you look at it. Don't get frightened with what's happening next. Now, everybody is now worried who's going to be the next victim. Right? So we thank God we don't have a lot of oil for people to exploit us. We got nothing to offer. Everything we have is taken from overseas, so we got nothing else to offer. But, you know, we should not be afraid of all these things here, and we should never allow ourselves to worry about what's going to happen next. Right? Now, this is something that we want to think very, very much. So when we say, read this word, these words are faithful and true. So when we read the book of Revelation, then we have a word of affirmation, right? So this is going to be true. That's something that we want to think about. I mean, let's read. I want to read to you a word that is from Matthew chapter 18 for a while. Let's give you an idea of how the Word of God can bring such comforts. Right? Now, tonight, there will be a memorial service. Stanley's uncle, Andy, pass on, and I will be there to bring the Lord's word. And Ben Kwa will be doing the funeral, because on Monday I will be doing a preparation for a colonoscope and endoscope, which is on Tuesday. So I can't get out of the house on Monday at all. So, you know, and then there's another death coming up. So sometimes death is something that's very, very real. And this concerns a little baby. The baby was born just about a week ago, but the baby cannot breathe on its own. It's a genetic problem. And the poor baby is just basically on a life support machine. And so the family has decided that they're going to extubate. In other words, they're going to take out the tube that's going to be in the little babies. Baby cannot open the mouth to eat, to feed, to do anything. It's going to be a very painful time. And there it is. So these are things which happen. The question is, how do we understand, how do we comprehend all of these things here? So we go to the Word of God. Faithful and true. We bring words that are faithful and they are true. In chapter 18, we read in verse 10. Take heed you do not despise one of these little ones. I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now that's going to be important. So the little ones have angels watching them. And they behold the Father's face in heaven. And so in verse 11 we read, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Right? So we have the parable of the man who had 100 sheep, one went astray, and he left the 99 to go in search for the little one that went astray. Right? So we read, why tell you he rejoices more than those 99 that did not go astray. Verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This is the word of comfort that we bring to the family. Where are our little ones? And it's painful to ask that question, but it is not painful to raise the answer. And the answer is just absolutely wonderful to take note of. C.S. Lewis wrote a book talking about mere Christianity. And he says that when you look for comforts in life, you may be disappointed, you may not find that comfort. But when you look for truth, you will find the truth and the comfort. But when you look for comfort, it may not be there. But when you look for truth, it will be there with it, comfort. That's the difference between searching for truth and searching for comfort. But when we search for truth, that's where we are. I think that's something that we really want to thank God for. That there is truth to be sought and there's truth to be found. So when we read, these words are faithful and true, right? And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Now, this is where we live in those days. More and more we read Revelation. And I want to suggest you try read Revelation all over again. But if you cannot read it on your own and understand, use the devotionals to help you to understand and figure it out. I think that really would be helpful to consider. Try. And you will see the Word of God coming alive to you. And that's what we need, to see the Word of God come alive to us. And we really understand it. These words are faithful and they are true. And God will show these things to us and it's all going to come to pass. So will there be turmoil in the world? Yes. See, years and years ago, they were always the peace, peace, you know, make the sign of peace and that's it. Where's the peace? It's more pieces than peace. I mean, that's reality. So what do you do with pieces? I mean, this is something, you know, so when people say peace, now, from now on, we're going to do this because it's the world is in pieces. Right? I mean, there are lots of things which are happening and it's difficult. And so, what's our challenge? Behold, I am coming quickly. Now, the Lord's coming quickly and our quickly, not always the same. His quickly is that, you see, because he has got to fulfill 100 different things. Right? We only think the Lord has only got one thing to do, just come. No, he's got a lot of things that he needs to attend to. There are a lot of promises he's made that he must keep. There are things that must take place that must and will be fulfilled before the end comes. So we have to look at all the things which happening in order for it to take place. I think that's what we want to do and appreciate, right? So the Lord says he is coming. It will take place. And he's coming quickly. We don't really understand the word quickly. The word here, quickly, is where you have the medical term called tachycardia. It literally, it's really from what it really means when a heart beats normally. Suddenly it beats very, very, very fast for no reasons. Well, that's the idea of how the quickness is. In other words, when it starts happening, it's going to happen in quick succession. Right? So once this sign starts, it won't stop. It will not stop for a while, 100 years later, it won't. Once it starts, it will carry on doing until it is all completed. All right? So when the disasters start coming, one after the other, it's a matter of when. And once it starts, it won't stop. Just like the plagues of Egypt, one ended, start the next one. Ended, start the next one. It's one after the other. Behold, I come quickly. That's the idea of come quickly. It's not the same as I come soon. Right? So the coming of the Lord second time round is going to be following a pattern. The words of the Lord will be there. So there will be a raising up of a Babylon, and it will be a fall of Babylon. So we literally have to wait for the fall of Babylon before all of these things happen. Right now, nothing has fallen. So when things are still in place, the coming is not yet. Right? So don't worry about exactly when, because nobody can tell you. But we know that when it starts happening, it will happen quickly, one after the other. Right? It's a rapid heartbeat you cannot control. And it's just going to be. So that's a word idea, the word quickly. So where is the challenge? Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That's why we need to look at this idea of being blessed. All right? So we go back to Revelation chapter 1, where we read these words very clearly. Okay? Now this is very important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay, blessed is he who reads. Right, so we read. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So one, the reader. Two, the hearer. Three, the keeper. So one way or the other. So whoever reads it is already blessed. Those who hear are similarly blessed. Those who keep are the truly blessed ones. That blessing of it all is just absolutely wonderful. Right? So we have to look at the words of this prophecy. And so we look at the seven churches. Seven churches, only two succeeded. And our focus must be, we've got to make sure that we succeed rather than among those who fail. So how do we succeed? We go on further. And we want to take a look at these things here, right? So all of these things are absolutely important for us to take note of. So some of the prophecies are difficult. They are problematic. But it is important for us to bring forth that word which are faithful and true. So this coming week will be a second funeral. So two funerals in one week, in the first week of the year. And it's going to be painful. We're looking at it. And, you know, we it's always difficult. You don't know what will hit you. Right? And, there are certain other indications that there will be others who may yet die this year. And sometimes in the prime of life. And this is something that we sort of cannot escape the reality of. You don't know when, you don't know who, but it's just going to be there, right? So how do we bring comfort? To remind people, there is a God who is in heaven. Two, there are angels, and they will bring the little ones home. And there is that hope that the baby will be with the Lord Jesus. And this must be our comfort, because these words are faithful and true, right? You cannot imagine the heartache and the sadness and the sorrow of the family when you think in terms of a little baby being born. Everybody looks forward and can't. The baby cannot open the eyes, the baby cannot respond, the baby cannot smile, the baby cannot do anything. And yet, still, weak as he may be, basically, he will be going back to the Lord. We don't understand any of these things here. Believe me, we just don't understand. I think something that we would think about. When I met Stanley's uncle, Andy, I looked at him, and he just passed away at 62. So when I went to see him the first time around, he was very surprised that I was so much older. And he greeted me with a big smile, and he was just marveling over the fact that I am more than 10 years older than he was. And that's a reality. We don't know how long we have this life. We only have a certainty of this life that we have at this point of time. What will happen next, we don't know. Right? A lot of things we have to... There will be some risk involved in all of these things here, but that's a reality. But are we afraid to die? No. But neither should we just sit down there and wait for death to come. I am not one of those people who wait for death to come. It will come. I would rather, what do I need to do? I want to live this life as fully as I can, and then look at it and say, you know, I had a good day today. I lived a good day today. And, you know, it's just doing something with your life that is going to be meaningful, right? So blessed is he who keeps, that's a word, right? So this is Revelation 1, who keeps the word or the prophecy of this book. So we go back, as we come to the last chapter, we also go back to the first chapter. So the challenge is to ask yourself, are we keeping the words of this prophecy? You can't keep until you learn it well. So this is important. Learn this well until it becomes a part of you. It has been internalized and you look forward to the second coming of the Lord. We always celebrate Christmas looking backwards. You know, the next celebration we should be looking forward, and that is his return. And it's something that's very, very real and important to us. Okay. Now, response of John, and this is to teach us humble lessons, right? Now, I, John, saw and heard these things. Okay, so this was his testimony. I saw these things which God gave him to see, heard those words, those things which he was given to hear, right? And then, and when I heard and saw, now this is where the impact it's there. It hits you. And when it hits you hard, you sometimes respond incorrectly. Right? So here is where I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Right? Now this is something that we want to look at. I fell down to worship. Because you sort of overwhelmed by all the things you hear, all the things you see, all the things you experience. You literally fall down and you want to offer worship to whatever you, who has ever been teaching you. Now, that was how Satan fell. Because he wants this worship. That's what he said to the Lord Jesus, Matthew 4, right? All these things that you see, I will give to you. You want the wealth, you want the fame, you want the power, you want everything. I'm happy to see them, give them to you. One condition, you bow, worship me. Right? This is what Satan desires deep down. He wants people to worship him at the end of it all. Right? That's what we talk about, this worship, you know, the Babylon, the mystery. Basically, if they want people to worship. Now, there are lots of things that we are looking at, right? There are some people who turn to a certain city to worship, right? The Jews literally turn to Jerusalem when they pray. I mean, literally. Right? So one day there was an incident when there was time for prayer for some of the Jews. And there was either on board the plane, and the pilot said, please do not move, stay in your seat, be buckled up. And this guy stood up and they faced Jerusalem when they prayed. And they said, but the captain says, your captain will say whatever he wants to say. We are going to carry on our prayer. And they stood up and they prayed facing Jerusalem. Well, this is something which really quite challenging to encounter. What do we do? Well, this is what they were really trying to do their part, and they were worshiping towards. And sometimes we miss the point. In John 4, we read the Lord Jesus Christ, right, to the Samaritan woman. You Samaritans, you worship in this mountain, and we are the Jews are there in Jerusalem. But I'll tell you how God is in worship. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. It's not location. It's the spirit of it all. And that's what we want to consider. And so deep down, John saw, heard, and kind of confused. How do I respond? I need to respond. I want to respond. How should I respond? And he got it wrong. So this is a humbling note, because even apostles can get it wrong. And this is one example. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. Right? So don't worship me, not an angel, for I am your fellow servant. I like this. You know, I don't like the, who's my colleague? This is my angel. What? Your colleague is an angel. It's kind of hard to imagine this. You know, most of us like to think of our colleague as esteemed so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, we like to know people, and we like to know somebody who is somebody who's quite famous. He says, see that you don't do that. Okay? I am your fellow servant. My goodness, this is so wonderful. Right, to think about this. Here is a high-ranking angel, and he says, John, don't do that, okay? I am your fellow servant. I like that spirit. I really like that spirit. Second, and of your brethren, the prophets. Now, this is where the Apostle John takes on another role. He is now literally classified among the prophets. And of your brethren. Who are the brethren? The prophets. Right? So if you're looking at ranking, actually, prophets, second rank. In the Old Testament, prophets, top rank. Right? And then over in the New Testament, apostles were the first rank, but they were only 12, minus one. Then added a few more, but they were there. And your brethren, the prophets. So we have a clear classification. And so imagine the angel's ministry. So when you read the book of Zechariah, and not the book, not the name Zechariah, but the book of Zechariah, you have what we call a teaching angel. Right? And the teaching angel is actually there, and you think about it, and they're just there. So sometimes you just think about it. How do we actually learn? You know, you wish you had a teaching prophet or teaching angel with you. Then you can understand, how do I understand this angel? And then he will come and explain to you. But we are not among the prophets, so we are not going to get a teaching angel, I'm afraid. It's like tuition angel, like tutors, you know, is going for tuition. But it's not. But we have someone better, and seriously, someone far greater than that, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So sometimes when you look at it and you just think, how is it that this person can come up with this thing here? Word, inspiration. How come this person is gifted in a certain way? Please don't envy the person who their fellow servants. And if you see the value of that, if you can do this kind of thing here, you know, so Dr. Kok Yang does what he calls sonnets. I try very hard, and I need a lot of tuition, so I'm realizing I don't have that sonnety part of it inside me. So I don't do sonnets. I find it very, very, very hard to look at it. There are technical things about it that you have to do. As I said, mine is still kindergarten or primary level, you know, very, very short, very simple things like that. But I just like to do it. It's something that I ask from the Lord, and the Lord gives it. And I just like to dabble in it and just try to think about it. But I think of people who are, you know, mighty, and people like angels, and there they are explaining things, and they will take no credit for it. Thank you very much. No thank you. Don't worship me. Don't say anything beyond what you need to. Right? And that is a tremendous spirit and attitude towards all those things. Right? So this is very important. So one, fellow servant. Two, of your brethren, the prophets. Three, now this is the humbling part of it, of those who keep the words of this book. Right? So we have three categories, but this time not the same category as the one who reads, one who hears, one who keeps. But this one is those who are prophets, those who are, you know, fellow servants of the Lord, and here, those who keep the words of this book. Right? So this is important. I'm one of them. Right? So one of those people who committed to. So when you look at those things here, a servant who will keep the word of God, the angel classifies himself among the people who keep the word of God. Right? And then among the prophets, I really think that all the angels are students of prophecy. Being a student of prophecy, it's a very, very challenging thing to do. It's a discipline by itself, seriously. It's one of those doctrinal disciplines where you study prophecy and you know the background of every single prophecy, the prophet, the book, and its theology, and you are able to compare them text with text all the time. So you have to be quite a bit of a scholar to understand this. And it's wonderful to be able to do this. Most of all, though, the focus is not so much the scholar. The focus is the keeper of this prophecy. In other words, what do we keep? First, we ask ourselves, are we looking forward to the second coming of the Lord? We should be. What else are we living for? I mean, seriously, what else are we living for? Now, it would be interesting to see whether the United Nations will do anything with the complaints raised to them. Right? This is attacking the sovereign rights. And the latest word is, we will run Venezuela. Well, you're looking at all these things. What do you think the world, the UN will do? Frankly, don't hold your breath. Right? UN is also in New York. What do you think? And all of these things, by the way, please do not think they're not known. They are already known. So when Kim Jong-un wants to test the bomb, please do not think that he tested it on his own. He did not. Or he does not do that. He has a string of people who will observe the testing of that bomb. And who are those people who are there? And they are not all North Koreans. There are many people from different countries whom he wants to tell them, we are testing this bomb. So it's not a in a corner kind of a thing here. It's not. It's never in a corner. Well, something that you want to think about very carefully. Right? The challenge for us all is to keep the words of this prophecy. Let's look at it. How can we keep this prophecy? How can we keep this word? And we must, in order to be among those who are truly blessed. And that's something that we want to seriously consider. Right? Think about these things here, and we want to ask ourselves how we can really practice this in our life. And it would really be wonderful. Okay? So, just looking forward to a great many things in the year ahead. So, what's your determination, 2026? Right? I think the first part of it is to look at life, and Psalm 103 is my chosen text as I look at 2026. And what is it that I want to do? I want to bless the Lord, no matter what happens. Right? I want to really bless the Lord. I want to rejoice in Him. Psalm 33. I want to live for the Lord as best I can. Well, because the Lord is coming quickly, or because life is, you know, a little bit shorter 1 year later. Think about this. 1 year later, life is a little shorter by 1 year. So we are coming towards one way or the other. There are a lot of things we want to attempt to do and live for the Lord. And let's do it now while we still can. That's how we keep the Lord's word. And that is something that we want to seriously consider. If we can do this, it would be a wonderful way of making our life count for something. Right? So there are teaching angels, and their task is to teach. They are mighty angels. Their task is to proclaim. They proclaim. They are mighty angels who will fight against powerful forces. They will be there. They are angels assigned to look after little ones. Right? These are the gentle angels. And will they look after little ones well? Yes. Right? So this is something that we need to look at, all the many, many different aspects of the Word of God which are there. And our challenge is to ask ourselves, when I read, do I believe? If I believe, do I keep the words of this prophecy? And if I do, well, then you are amongst the blessed. Think about this. Be among the blessed. The challenge, worship God. Two words. Let this year be a year of even more special worship. What do I want to do? I want to worship God no matter what happens. I want to be here for the Lord no matter how it works in life. And that's how that works. And this is going to be vital for us to consider. Think about this. Okay? And may this year be a good year. Well, just to let you know, I bought my shoes already. Thank you for your thing here. Because it's true, by the end of the year, the cushion is lots less. It's like wearing clogs after a while. So I brought a new pair of shoes. And well, thank you for another year of walking. I'm still walking very much. Every day, and you know, do I feel breathless after 6 km? No, it's normal, and it's something that really thank God for His grace and strength. Let's keep on living for the Lord. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge of 2026. Thank you for the joy that we can have as we think about how we can worship you. How we can understand the words of this prophecy. Help us to become scholars of prophetic words. Help us to understand your word and then determine to keep them. We pray for your grace and for your mercy. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.